In this section, we're going to continue our discussion of PROACT. Again, PROACT stands for Problems, Objectives, Alternative, Consequences, and Trade-offs. And we're going to focus in on alternatives in this lecture. Now, alternatives are those raw materials for decision-making. What alternatives are the range of potential choices you have. A couple of things to think about when you're thinking about alternatives is that you can never choose an alternative that you haven't considered. And no matter how many alternatives you have, your chosen alternative can be no better than the best of the lot that you've gathered together. So this kind of suggests that new and creative alternatives can be very rewarding and obviously shouldn't be overlooked. What does limit or result in poor alternatives? A number of things. One of the biggest ones is assuming you know what the options are and therefore you don't give alternatives enough consideration. Some of the ways that this happens is you are carrying on business as usual. Choose the same alternative that you've chosen for a similar decision problem in prior days. Taking the easy way out. Usually this is a result of laziness or just habit. You're certainly not taking the time to choose some more creative or new alternatives by doing business as usual. Another one that may limit or result in poor alternatives is what's considered incrementalizing. In this case, you're making just smaller, sometimes even meaningless changes to previously devised alternatives. Again, no fresh perspectives here. And then falling back on default alternatives or considering that you have no alternative better than the default alternative. So I guess what I'm saying here is that creating fresh alternatives requires effort. Another pitfall would be choosing the first possible solutions. Once you find a solution, you stop there. Always look for one more solution or a possibly better solution once you've discovered a possible solution. Don't stop at your first choice. Sometimes you'll be presented with alternatives by others and you limit yourself to just choosing from those alternatives. These alternatives may not even be applicable to you. They were alternatives for others. And sometimes being stuck with what's left. If you wait too long to choose between alternatives, the best alternatives may no longer be available, a timing issue. So how do I go about generating better alternatives? This goes back to the process we're going through. Use your objectives. Ask yourself, how can I achieve the objectives I've set? Another thing to do once you've established what your objectives are and refreshed your mind what those are is challenge the constraints. Is a constraint real or is it an imagined barrier? One way to determine whether it's real or imagined is assume the constraint doesn't exist and then try and create alternatives. Also set very high aspirations. We've probably all heard the term stretch goals. That applies here. Set targets that seem to be beyond your reach. Do your own thinking first, and then seek the advice of others. If you seek the advice too early, it may limit your own creativity. Another option is learn from experience. Use this as a starting point, however. Otherwise, you may fall into the business as usual trap. Ask others for suggestions. This may seem counterintuitive to do your own thinking first, but again, think first and then seek the advice of others. Sometimes those that are a little distant from the problem may see a solution more clearly. One of the ways to do this is benchmark against similar industries. Again, as in earlier discussions, the process of just talking about the problem, organizing your thoughts into explanations, may help you discover new possibilities. Another suggestion would be to give your subconscious time to operate. Step away. Do something else. Many alternatives will start coming to you when you are not trying to think of them. Another effective technique is to create your alternatives first and then later evaluate them. This is the same thing we do with brainstorming. Any and all alternatives or thoughts or processes are laid out, even those that seem crazy. Crazy may end up being creative in the end. When you start evaluating the alternatives, it's going to narrow the range of possibilities and stagnate the process of coming up with creative alternatives. And really never stop looking for alternatives, no matter where you are in the process. As you get further down the road in this decision-making process, alternatives may surface and those should be considered. You need to also tailor your alternatives to your problem. There are basically four categories of alternatives: process alternatives, win-win alternatives, information gathering alternatives, and time buying alternatives. Process alternatives, you choose a process rather than a clear-cut choice, such as the process would be, I'm going to choose between two options by tossing a coin. Voting is a process. Binding arbitration, standardized test scores to determine a way of establishing a cutoff, for example. Sealed bids, auctions, etc. These are actual processes rather than a clear-cut choice. And again, you start by listing all the possible alternatives from which to choose, then choose the right process or mechanism for selecting from those alternatives the best one. The win-win category of alternatives are alternatives that are good for all parties. Step back, analyze all the stakeholders' decision problems, and then make other stakeholders' alternatives jive with yours. In this case, you both win or all win. Information gathering alternatives. Now, this is when there are uncertainties affecting the decision. Here, you would want to generate alternatives for gathering information to reduce the uncertainty. In this case, list all the areas of uncertainty. For each one, list the possible ways to collect the needed additional information. Some ways of doing that may be comparison shopping or getting second opinions, things like that. And the final category of alternatives are time buying alternatives. In this case, you're actually deferring a decision, which can provide you time to better understand the problem, the objectives, and again, gather that relevant information. Sometimes you need to perform some complex analysis. So how do you know when you're done? Well, first of all, you need to know that the perfect solution seldom exists. So you're going to have to settle for something less than perfect. So carefully and thoroughly determine your alternatives, but don't be obsessive about it. How will you know when enough is enough? If you can answer yes to the following questions. 1. Have you thought hard about your alternatives? And again, you're using the techniques that we've discovered in this session. 2. Would you be satisfied with one of your existing alternatives as a final decision? 3. Do you have a range of alternatives? And are some of them distinctly different? 4. Do other elements of this decision require your time and attention? We'll be talking eventually about consequences and trade-offs, and you may want to go ahead and proceed to those steps, and alternatives may surface at that point. And finally, would time spent on other decisions or activities be more productive? In summary, of course, alternatives are very important. They're the raw material for making decisions, and you can't choose from an alternative that you haven't considered, and your best choice can be no better than the alternatives that you've listed.